been an eventful couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks here in our community, in our state. And while for most of us things are getting back to normal, there's still some people who really continue to need our help and our encouragement, and we need to step up and help them as best we can. But it's good to be able to be here in this nice, clean, and dry place and worship God and give Him honor and praise on this, the first day of the week. James mentioned something Wednesday night that got me to thinking about the life that we've committed ourselves to as Christians. You know, he mentioned the fact that a lot of people just think that they can live pretty much however they want to, and that somehow God's grace is going to get them through. God's going to just forgive them and take care of them and take them on into heaven. And they don't really need to alter the way they live their life. They don't really need to change. And that's a pretty prevalent way of thinking. Somehow people have gotten the idea that God's grace means that you don't have to be careful with the way you live your life. I thought about that in terms of this passage in Romans chapter 6. I thought I'd talk about it for a few moments this morning. The title of my sermon is Dead to Sin and Alive to God. We often cite this passage in order to talk about baptism, about the importance and role of baptism, and how when you're baptized, what happens is that you are baptized into Christ, and that it is at that point that you are united with Christ, united with His death, and thereby saved. That is an important part of obeying the gospel, being baptized into Christ, into His death, and being saved. And that's true. This passage does say that, but really, on reflection and thinking about it, the primary point of this passage has to do with the life you live after you are baptized. And that's what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning. Let's read the first several verses to begin with. Just read them together, and then we'll talk about them. Romans 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Just reading that, you can see the point I'm getting at, can't you? Do I even need to preach the sermon? Well, maybe I will. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? This is the question that opens Romans chapter 6. It's what Romans chapter 6 is about. It's about whether or not we're going to continue in sin. Now, baptism does take away sin. It does. But it also does something else. It is the demarcation point. It is the point of change, a changed life. Are we going to continue in sin? And just think, oh, well, you know, God's grace will take care of that. He'll take care of that. Take care of that. It's like we got a whole stack of get out of jail free cards. And just, you know, just thinking about sin from the standpoint of a believer in God, why would you want to continue in sin? Sin's terrible. This past couple of weeks, many of us have had occasion to go into some homes that have been flooded and to get in there and with our hands just rip out all of that smelly, stinking, gunky, awful stuff, you know, the carpet and the drywall, and it's just slimy and stinking, and you pull all that out and you get all that all over you, and you do that all day, and then at the end of the day, what do? You go take a bath. You go get in the shower, and you get all of that stuff off of you, because and it feels so good to be clean. Now, who in their right mind would come out of that shower and then just go jump back into the mucky, muddy, messy, stinking goo? Well, you don't want to do that. You want to get away from that as much as you can. Shall we continue in sin? Oh, it's okay. You know, God will forgive me of that, and He'll forgive me. Well, no, that's not the basis of this arrangement that God is with us to forgive us. This is the question. This is what we're going to talk about. May it never be. You know, we would say, or we would say, no way, no way. That is not the idea. That is not what God has in mind. Mm-mm. How shall we who have died to sin still in it? That's what Paul is going to go on to explain. The whole rest of the chapter is about this statement right here. How can a person who has died to sin still live in it? If you died to it and you're dead to it, then you won't live in it. You died to it. There's death and there's life. And if that life is dead, then that's not the life that you live now. Pretty simple, isn't it? How can a person who has died to sin still live in the sin? You can't live in sin if you've died to sin. That's it. I could quit here too. I could quit, but I'm not going to. All of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus. All of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, and you got to do that. If you're here today and you've not been baptized into Christ Jesus, you need to do that. Because if you've not been baptized into Christ Jesus, you are in your sins. Because it's at the point that you're baptized into Christ Jesus that you've been baptized into His death. And all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death. Because, see, that's the point, you know. Don't you know that you've died to sin? Well, when did that happen? I don't remember dying. When did I die? I don't remember dying to sin. Well, this is what happens, you know. If you've been baptized into Christ Jesus, you've been baptized into His death. Into His death. Of course, His death is the death that takes away the sin. But in order for me to receive that benefit and blessing, I have to die too. I have to be baptized into His death. And if I've been baptized into His death, therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death. We've gone through just exactly what He went through. Of course, in a spiritual, metaphorical sense, but more effective. You think about this. If you knew exactly where the tomb of Jesus was, and you were able to go and get into that tomb and be buried in that tomb, that wouldn't do anything for you. That would be pointless. But if you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you are baptized in the watery grave of baptism, you are baptized into His death. And you have joined in His death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. This is the effect. This is the outcome. You have gone into His death, joined Him in death and baptism, so that you can come up out of that baptism and walk in newness of life. A new life, not the same old life, not just any old life, a new life. A new life as a consequence of joining Christ in death and baptism. And you come up out of that baptism and you got a brand new life. Not just new in terms of chronology or in time. It's of a different quality, a different nature. New life. See, the effect of dying to sin is this. Baptism doesn't just take away your old sins. It does that. But that's not all it does. It is a death to the life of sin. You see that, don't you? It's a death to the life of sin. It is a resurrection to a new life without sin. For, he says in verse 5, for if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, a baptism is like, it is like Jesus' burial. And that's the connection. Buried in water. Jesus was buried in the earth. We're buried in the water. We went through a burial like His. Well, just like we went through a burial like His, we have to go through a resurrection like His. He was raised up. We have to be raised up. The likeness of His resurrection. Now, to what resurrection is Paul referring? It's easy to jump to the end of one's life and talk about physical death and eventual resurrection, which is going to happen, and it's also connected to our relationship with Christ. But in this context, I don't think it's our final resurrection, the resurrection of the body, that Paul's talking about. He's talking about something that's happening right now. Just like we were buried in this life in baptism, we are resurrected to a new life right now. We are to live a resurrected life, a new life. You see those three dots there? I think that's called an ellipsis. And in my translation that I used here, the New American Standard, it means there's more to the sentence, there's more to the story. The likeness of His resurrection, he goes on to explain in verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him. This explains the kind of resurrection we're talking about. The old self that did just whatever it wanted, that just kind of lived its life, and any kind of pleasure or sin or desire that came up, you just kind of, we just went with it. Did what everybody else does. That old guy, crucified. Crucified with Christ. There's a real personal connection between what Jesus went through on the cross, a terrible, awful crucifixion, and what happened to my old life. the person I was before, crucified. Crucified with Christ. In order that, this is the reason for it, in order that our body of sin might be done away with. Now, you know, I said earlier that why would anybody want to get all filthy and mucky, you know, and all with nasty, dirty, stinking water, and then go get relieved from that by bathing? Why would anybody want to go back into the mud again? Peter talks about it like the hog that was washed and it returned to wallow in the mire. Why, you know, would do that? Because that's what a hog wants to do. Why would a human being want to get back in the mire? Well, because there's a part of us that likes the dirt. There's the hog part of us, the pig part of us, if you want to think of it that way. There's a body of this flesh that we still have in this world, and it kind of wants to do those sins. But that body of sin has to be done away with. When we become a Christian, when we are baptized into the death of Jesus, and that old man is crucified with Christ, it's got to be done away with. Now, what I'm getting at here, and as it should be obvious to you, we're talking about choices. We're talking about the way you think about your life and the way you live your life. Because it doesn't happen automatically. It's not like turning a switch. It's not like something that suddenly you don't want to sin anymore and don't understand why you ever did want to sin. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about a choice. And that choice involves that body of sin is done away with so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. That is not who we are anymore. And the people who live their life thinking, well, you know, God doesn't care and He'll forgive me and I'll indulge this sinful behavior, or I'll go and I'll do this thing that I know God's Word says is wrong, but, you know, it'll be all right, you know. That person is still a slave to sin. They're letting sin rule their life. And that is not the deal. That is not the arrangement that God has with us. Sin is no longer to be our master. For he who has died is freed from sin. And that is so true, isn't it? He who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Now, as I've told you before in the past, my uncle was an alcoholic. And he was an alcoholic, I guess, for most of his adult life. But he's not anymore. Because he died. We all understand the concept that when this body dies, then all of the things that the body craves and all of the things the body wants to do, that's all over with. Now, the consequences may not be over with for the soul. But in this life, we have to consider that body that wants to do those things, we have to consider that body dead, already dead. And it is all about considering. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. It's a new life. We live with Christ now. It's a life with Christ. And it's a better life, a good life, a life in which we pursue righteousness. And he says this because Christ went through this. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. He was raised. He lives. All things that Christ has done, consequential, monumental, life-changing, life-affecting things that Christ has done for you and for me, and it should have an effect upon us. We have been crucified with Him. We have died with Him. We were buried with Him. We were raised with Him. We have a new life with Him. Just like He was raised from the dead, we have been raised to a new life. And it's a good life. A life in which we don't have to be a servant, a slave to the impulses and the lusts and the desires and the cravings. We don't have to do that anymore. We're freed from that. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. You see that? Death is not the master of Christ. He's been raised from that. We were also raised from that too. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Now look at those words. He died to sin, he lives to God. He died to sin, he lives to God. Not that Jesus committed any sin. Oh no. But through his death, because he was innocent, because he was without sin, he gives us the ability to do what he did, to live to God. And so he says in verse 11, even so, consider. That's the operative term there. This is the way we've got to think about it. This is the way that we live our life now. Even so, going back to this statement, just like Christ died to sin and he lives to God, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. That's how you think of your life. I am dead to sin. Dead to it. And alive to God. Alive to God in Christ Jesus. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God. So that answers the question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? No. We're dead to that now. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. And that word let, it reminds us again of the point that I made. It's about choice. Do not let it. We continue to have opportunities to sin. And sometimes we do. And we do have grace to forgive us on those occasions. To ask God's forgiveness and say, God, I should not have done that. I'm sorry that I did that. Please forgive me of doing that. I don't want to do that. That is not the person I want to be. Please forgive me. And he does. But that's not the same thing as saying, oh, well, it doesn't matter. I'll just go do whatever I want to do, and God will take care of that. That's not the deal. Let means choice, and you must choose every day to not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. You don't have to. You still got them. I still have them. I still have a body that desires things that are wrong. But I don't let that dominate my life. And in Jesus Christ, that can happen. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Present yourself. Present yourself. You ever have an opportunity to get an award or get recognition or have to you know, like if you go through graduation, what do? You present yourself. You walk up there on the stage and you present yourself. Or, you know, the boss calls into your office, you know, and you kind of comb your hair, you know, and you go and you present yourself. Or you go on a date, you know, and you're going to show up at the door. And I guess you want to kind of try to look as good as you can, I guess. Present yourself. Well, how are you going to present yourself to God? You have a choice. You have a way of living your life that you know is going to be acceptable to God. Present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. Death, of sin, the death of the body of sin, but now you're alive. Present yourself that way, alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness to God. There is nothing better that we could be doing with our life than to find good things to do and do them. Because that's resurrection life. That's living life. That's life to God. Dead to sin, alive to God. In conclusion, to receive the saving grace of Christ's death, we also must die. We have to die. And just as Jesus died for our sins, we got to die too. And this means a lifelong commitment to live righteously. Do you want to do that? Do you want this morning to die to sin and live for God? I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying you're always going to succeed. But with the grace that we have in Jesus Christ, it is absolutely possible to die to sin and live for God. You can be joined with the death of Jesus Christ this morning in baptism and be resurrected from the watery grave of baptism to live a new life in which you say, every day, I consider myself dead to sin and alive to God. I present myself to God as an instrument for righteousness. And if that's the life that you want for yourself, Christ makes it possible through His death and His resurrection. Come forward and say you will have it as we stand and sing.
Peace from the toils.